Good day to all of you and welcome back to this subject on managing IT projects. We are going to get into chapter 10, which is looking at understanding managing project resources or manage or project resource management. Now this chapter will focus mainly on the key resources that go into IT projects, and typically in IT projects the key resources tend to be human beings or human resources and the skill sets that are required to complete the project. So if you look at the key learning objectives, our first thing is to learn what is project resource allocation, what is resource planning and management in terms of human resource planning, acquiring the project team, developing the project team, managing the project team, and resource leveling and scheduling is what we will also additionally learn as a part of project resource management. Where are we in terms of understanding the complete project management cycle? So if you see, we started somewhere at the introduction and we've gone through all these steps. We are somewhere over here in terms of resources and cost, which is, you know, step 8 of the overall project management process. And therefore, what is project human resources management? Now, project resource human resources management includes all the steps and processes and methods that are required to make the most effective use of people that are typically involved in projects and or multiple projects. The processes will include organizational planning, workload scheduling, staff acquisition, team development, training and motivation. So this is typically the part of what is called project human resource management. Now, coming to understanding the resource problem in the context of IT projects. Now, large IT companies and also small IT companies both have their own challenges in terms of getting the right resources for the different and multiple projects that they handle. A large IT company has multiple projects running concurrently, and because of the large number of projects, the requirement of skills and requirement of people is huge. They have their own challenges in scheduling people in multiple projects. Small IT companies also have a resource problem in terms of the projects they handle because they can't staff so aggressively as the big companies, and therefore how to schedule the resources, how to get the right resources in for the projects becomes an equally challenging task for them. Now, resources and priorities, okay? Now, project network times are not a schedule until resources have been assigned. So if we make a project plan and we have not assigned the resources, the timelines of the project are not valid till the resources are assigned, and only when these resources start working does this plan get into implementation. So that's one very important thing. The implicit assumption of this approach is that resources will be made available in the required amounts at the right time to ensure that the project will reach its completion within the, you know, budgeted timeline. Okay, now adding new projects and adjusting to changes in existing projects requires making realistic assessments of resource availability almost on a continual basis while the projects are running. Okay, so along with human resources, one must also consider the costs, and cost estimates are not a part of the budget till they have not been allotted to the different phases of the budget, different phases of the project, and different elements of the budget, of the project. Now, going into understanding, continuing our understanding of resource problem, resource smoothing or leveling is an attempt to even out the multiple demands that are there on resources by using slack, which is non-critical activities or delaying non-critical activities to manage resource utilization when resources are adequate over the life of the project. Okay, then you have a resource constraint scheduling. The duration of the project may be increased by delaying the late start of some of the activities if resources are not adequate enough to meet the peak demand. So these are two different methods of looking at how to handle resources. One is smoothing or leveling, and other is what is called resource constraint scheduling. Now let us look at the different types of constraints that a project can typically have. So let's say the first constraint that the project can have is what is called a technical or a logical constraint. Now, what is technical constraint? Technical constraint can relate to constraints of technology, the right equipment. Okay, it can relate to also logical constraints in terms of the sequencing in which the project has to be done. So, for example, we have a dependency, or we need to wait for the previous step to be over before this current step can be started, and that could be a logical constraint in the project. The second constraint that we may have is physical constraint, activities that cannot occur in parallel or are affected by the contractual or environmental conditions are called physical constraints. So, for example, a project requires permission to be taken from a, you know, from a regulatory authority or a government body, and we may not have factored in the right amount of time to get that approval in place. So, for example, you are doing an IT project which combines telecommunication technologies over Wi-Fi, and for that Wi-Fi you need to have a approval from the wireless authorities on the radio band that you will use for the communication. That could create a constraint of its own. The third one could be resource constraints, which could mean the absence or shortage or the unique interrelationship and interactional characteristic of resources that require particular sequencing of project activities. So it could be a resource constraint in terms of number of people, or it could be a resource constraint in the type of people, or it could be a resource constraint in the kind of skills that you need, etc., etc. And okay, the other kind of resource constraints could be related to material and equipment. One is related to people, and the other could be related to material and equipment. If we look at the block diagram of a constraint in terms of what you see on the screen right now, so if you see a technical constraint, you see in terms of this is a typical construction project. You start the construction project, you know, pour the cement, create the frame, add the roof and end it, okay? Or you can have a typical coding this thing, software project, you design, code, test and end the project. So this is happening in a complete, you know, sequential activity. Now this activity cannot be done till this is not done. You know, this testing cannot be done if coding is not done. So there are no parallel activities that can be done in this kind of a methodology. If you see resource constraints, you know, you can divide work, you plan it, then you say, okay, you decorate hall, you hire a band and you purchase the refreshments, and then all these combine to create a party or a reception. So you can also, when you have a resource constraint, when you're making the plan, you will first hire the band, then you will decorate the hall, then you will purchase the refreshments, and then the reception will take place. So, two examples of how resource constraints have changed the way in which you are going to, you know, complete that project. Now, management and allocation. Okay. Now, resource management comprises of the acquisition and deployment of internal and external resources, which are typically required to deliver a project or a program or a portfolio or certain outcomes. The resources of an organization consist typically of people, material, equipment, knowledge, skills and time. How we manage all these resources to create an output that is useful to the customer and useful to the organization is where our complete skill, managerial ability and strategy is involved. Now, from an organizational perspective, organizations typically have limited resources, and because they have a limited resources, there is always a trade-off that happens between the resources that are expended and the resources that are created within the organization. So there has to be a very careful analysis done of which resource will work on where and how that resource will contribute to the completion of the multiple projects that are running within the organization. A resource allocation plan, therefore, is an important tool in the effective management of scarce resources, typically in terms of manpower and typically in terms of the skill sets. Now, the timing of the need of these resources can be and should be made within the project scheduling. Therefore, the planning of the project is a very careful exercise, and especially when you have multiple projects running within the organization, how you will, you know, flip these resources from one project to the next and back to the same project can be an effective way by which you can manage multiple projects within the time and cost deadlines. Okay? A resource plan, which typically describes the type of resources needed and the timing of that resource, is critical to effective resource management and also for efficient utilization of those resources. Now, as the project schedule keeps changing and altering, depending on new requests, change requests, new requirements coming in, okay, the resource plan also should keep changing to accommodate those things if we want to finally complete the project in terms of time and budget. So therefore, we should have a flexible plan, and this has to keep on changing as and when the new things are incorporated into the project. Now, the resources that are required for a project or a portfolio typically, as we said, include people, machinery, materials, technology, property, and anything that is required to deliver the outcome. And resources can be obtained internally from the host organization or procured from external sources. Now, preparing a resource management plan, therefore, has to consider the following factors. Factor number one, how much of the infrastructure that we have can be shared between multiple projects. Number two, what opportunities are there for pan program procurement? Number three, are there any projects with very specialized resource requirement, and can tranches be structured to make the resource utilization more effective and more efficient? So a resource plan is typically created during the resource planning phase of the project. And who is responsible for creating the resource plan? The project resource manager or management will be needed to create the comprehensive resource plan. I mean, he's the person responsible for that, and to ensure that all the resources needed to complete the project are identified, hired, and brought on board and aligned with the project as soon as possible. That's very, very critical for effective project management to happen. Now, this is a simple organogram or an organization chart for a large IT project. So, if you see a large IT project, it's handled by a project manager. Now, in this case, because the project is large, we also have a deputy project manager. Now, these deputy project manager, the manager and the deputy project manager have divided the work into different categories. So, there is a system engineering, there is an independent test group, there's a project technical lead, quality assurance, and configuration management. Now, if you take the project technical lead, this has been further subdivided into a software sub-project headed by one manager. There's another software sub-project 2, which is headed by manager 2. Then there's a hardware sub-project, which is, kind of handled by another manager. Then you have team 1, team 2, team 3 in sub-project 1. You have team 1 and team 2 in sub-project 2. And you have team 1 and team 2, again in sub-project, hardware sub-project. So this is how a typical organogram exists for a large IT project, and the project manager and the deputy project manager, when they are doing the resource planning, they create the structure and they find what are the resources. So this team will have how many people with what skills, every team, what is the composition of the team and what are the skills required, the experience required to manage that project are identified, and accordingly the whole team is staffed. Now, resource planning is a huge challenge for IT project managers because it is in IT the key resource is human resource is humans and the skill sets. Okay, all projects require sufficient staff. Even when things do not go according to plan, the staff team leaders or superiors always keep complaining of unavailability of people and increasing pressure on deadlines because of constant changes that are happening to the specifications of the project and therefore to the project plan. Now, if you see resource planning in terms of process cycles for planning and controlling, one will not achieve planning reliability for anyone if the team members are or the team leaders are confronted with new resource requirements from the projects on a daily basis, and they are expected to respond and react to them quickly to fill in the gaps. So if a new change has been identified and has been approved in the change request process, there is a timeline that is required for the team leaders and the project leaders to be able to identify the resource, required to complete that new requirement or to be able to incorporate the new requirement and carry on with the project activities. Now, in resource planning, the following processes are imperative to understand what are the gaps that are continuously emerging in the resource requirements. So, the first one is a status update from the team with time results on what is called informing the respective project manager on what has been completed and what is yet to be done. Okay. Then team status meeting dealing with what are member status updates, problems and excavations, or likewise it can be weekly or monthly. Then if necessary, resource coordination between project manager and team leader on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis to ensure that there are enough resources, new requirements that have been identified, resources have been added, or if some attrition has taken place or some team member has fallen sick, how are we going to handle these requirements from a resource planning perspective are brought to the table in terms of team status meetings or status updates, and resource coordination between the project managers and the team leader, maybe on a weekly basis, maybe on a bi-weekly basis. Now, team leaders who are working on small components or small modules of the larger IT project have to make agreements with several project managers simultaneously. It is possible that the team leader and their teams are simultaneously working on multiple projects and therefore toggling between one project to the next according to the deadline of each project requires coordination by the team leaders with multiple project managers to ensure that none of the projects get delayed or we don't do one project at the cost of another, thereby creating high customer satisfaction in one project and dissatisfaction in the other project. So we have to be very careful about that. Along with team leaders, budget and strategy meeting, review of financial planning and possible reprioritization at the enterprise level of projects, of team, of resources can also be done depending on which project is who needs to be fast-tracked and which project can be delayed, okay, on a quarterly basis. Besides that, there's a portfolio review meeting where prioritization or resource conflicts at monthly intervals can be handled and taken care of. Now, prerequisites for strategic resource planning and project management. Now, it is important to understand for strategic resource planning to happen in a project management situation of when the planning of the project has been done. So the first prerequisite for good results is calculating the actual availability. Deduct the total time, amount of time for operations, public holidays, vacation time, retraining, and attrition to understand what will be the strategic resource requirement in a project. The second prerequisite concerns the portfolio planning. The capacity requirements for running and new projects must be completely understood to be able to get a complete picture on the overall requirement of resources. The third prerequisite is consolidating the capacity requirements at the level of skills or the teams needed. When planning the portfolio, approval of these capacity for the projects with top priority has to take precedence, and the top management has to clear this on a priority basis. Now, capacity bottlenecks are removed by postponing projects with lower priority or by securing additional capacities and additional manpower. In a dynamic environment, this will not be a one-off activity. This will involve continuous iteration and continual changes to the resource plan, and that will keep on happening again and again because resources are always insufficient and therefore always have to be reallotted, reallocated and redistributed depending on the priority of the organization at any given point in time. So in project resource management, we will now study a very important concept called resource leveling and scheduling. Now, resource leveling and scheduling is used as a method of balancing the resources across various projects to ensure timely completion of most of the projects. Now, as defined by the Project Management Book of Knowledge, PMBOK Guide, the resource leveling and scheduling is defined as a technique in which the start and finish dates are adjusted based on resource constraints with the goal of balancing the demand of the resources with the available supply. So that is the definition of this word leveling. Now, resource leveling, doing it manually is a very complicated process across multiple projects and multiple skills. Okay, so if you have a resource that is working on several tasks, leveling is not as simple as delaying one of them to make sure that they are not over allocated, or delaying that one task might also delay several other tasks which have dependency on that, depending on the other resources. So it's to be a very carefully thought through process with the linkages that that person may have on multiple assignments. Now, making the most of available resources except for the most simplest of projects, resource leveling, in which case the resource leveling can be done manually. For all other projects, doing it manually is next to impossible, very difficult, and therefore resource leveling is always aided by a computer software. Now, leveling formulas and scheduling processes must be able to examine the entire schedule from multiple perspectives based on task relationship, dependency, skills requirement, and should dynamically set start and end dates according to the identified resource level and optimize the same through the computer software. So that's how it is done. Now, resource leveling goes beyond numbers and calculations, beginning from the first task, starts getting implemented. In the technical sense, resource leveling is a tool where working on the numbers to physically create a realistic picture or a realistic workable schedule, which is a strategic basis for scheduling decisions. Now, resource leveling strategies and initiation planning. So in all likelihood or in all methodologies, the resource leveling will be set during the project initiation phase at the start itself, when the key project variables are defined and the project management strategies are being worked out. Okay? At this point, you will have to answer the following questions. Which type of resources A are required to complete the project? How many of these resources are required in terms of hours, skill sets, and man hours? Okay, and then if we do not have the required availability of all the skill sets, how will we manage the project schedule considering these resource limitations and constraints? Now, resource leveling in action. Unless one is very, very lucky, project resources are rarely unlimited. In most cases, there is always a limit, finite number of resources that are available, and that has to be considered for competing projects. Many times, people with high level of software skills and IT skills have to be rationed across multiple projects so that, therefore their availability and this thing is a key component of the success of the project. The question is how, okay? So as usual, you will be in a stronger position if you lay a proper strategic foundation during the project initiation phase for all the resources that are in short supply and in demand. Now, left unmanaged, resource constraints can threaten the success of the project and can topple the timelines and budgets. Therefore, you have to plan appropriately to ensure that all the constraints are understood, properly defined, communicated, and mitigated in case things don't happen. Above all, what happens is one has to get the stakeholder buy-in to any mitigating solution. This planning process can be summed up in four steps. And the four steps are, number one, create a realistic estimate of your project resource requirements. Project needs are defined by several factors. How many resources will you need to complete the project? How many man hours and man days are required in the project by the requested date? How many hours will be available? What skills are required? How will these resources be acquired? What will they cost? And can you afford them? So that's step number one. Step number two, we need to identify our project resource gap, which is the variance between the required resource versus the available resource according to resource numbers, skills, and work hours. Then number three, consider the possibility for managing the resource gap depending on the individual circumstances depending on the individual parameters. You can take one or more approaches to complete or close the gap in the resources, including hiring more resources, adding more resources, changing the project, or in changing the schedule. Step number 4, negotiate for your best position. Always, in order to negotiate, you must have a firm understanding on internal project or requirements and your organizational dynamics. How important is this project to your company? How does your project rank in value compared to other projects the organization is doing? What are your scheduling flexibilities, and how will you convince the stakeholders that any resource related scheduling adjustment will not diminish overall project value? So if you understand this analysis and use this to convince others, you may get access to key resources that can help you in completing the project on time. Okay, now let us understand what are different kinds of scheduling problems. So we have, putting a priority matrix to scheduling problems can determine if the project is time constrained or project constrained. So a time constrained project is a project that has to be completed by a defined date. Time is fixed, but in this case, resources are flexible. Additional resources can be added to complete the project schedules, but time cannot be changed. In a resource constrained project is one in which the number of resources available are fixed, but time can be changed. Inadequate resources will delay the project, so time is flexible in this case. Okay? Now the third, now let's look at typical resource allocation methods. Now limiting assumptions. One, what is the assumption in resource allocation? One, splitting activities is not allowed. Once a particular activity is taken up, the entire activity will be completed. Secondly, level of resources used for any activity cannot be changed. We need 5 resources, so it starts with 5 resources and ends with 5 resources. Okay. Now, risk assumptions and resource allocation. Activities with the most slack pose the least risk. 2, reduction of flexibility does not increase risk. 3, the nature of an activity, whether it is easy, complex or highly complex, doesn't increase the risk. So this is the critical risk assumption in that. Now let's do a resource allocation for time constrained projects. Okay. Now a time constrained project must be completed by a defined date. Time cannot be changed. Resources can be changed. Requires use of leveling techniques that focus on balancing or smoothing the resource demands. Use positive slack, which typically tries to delay non-critical activities to manage resource utilization over duration of the project. Okay. Now, what are the things over here? Peak resource demands are reduced and resource over the lifetime of the project are reduced. Fluctuation in resource demand is minimized. So, this is what happens in time-constrained projects. In terms of resource demand leveling or for time constraint manage advantages, peak resource demands are removed. The peak requirements are reduced. Resources over the lifetime of the project are further reduced. Fluctuation in resource demand is minimized. Now, what are the disadvantages? Loss of flexibility that occurs from reducing slack, which means if more changes keep coming in this, it is difficult to accommodate that and increases the criticality of all the activities because every activity is kind of over-optimized. So, this is the key thing in this. Now, resource-constrained projects, in this case, the resources are limited, but time is flexible, okay? Now, typically in a resource-constrained project, activities are scheduled using heuristics, which is rule of thumb, that typically focus on minimum slack, smallest or least duration, or taking the lowest activity by identification number. The parallel method is used to apply heuristics and iterate. What is a parallel method? It's an iterative process starting at the first time period of the project and scheduling period by period the start of any activity using the above 3 priority rules. So that is what is typically the parallel method of resource allocation in resource constrained projects. Now, what is the impact of the resource constraint scheduling? It reduces delay, but also reduces flexibility. Secondly, it increases the criticality of every event, increases scheduling complexity, may make the traditional critical path almost redundant or irrelevant. It can break the sequence of events and may cause parallel activities to become sequential and critical activities with slack to become non-critical. So these are the disadvantages that one sees in the resource constrained scheduling method. Another method by which projects can be managed is called splitting. Now, what is splitting? Splitting is a scheduling technique which is used to get better project schedule and increase resource utilization. Now, typically, it involves interrupting the work on an activity to employ the resource on another activity. So, what you do is you break that work into logical parts, get one resource on the first part of the activity, take him out, put him into another activity, and then bring him back into the same activity again. Okay? Now, this is feasible when startup and shutdown costs are low and is considered the major reason why projects fail to meet schedules because of constant shifting of resources from one project to the next. If you see diagrammatically, this is how it looks like. You have, you know, this is the complete activity duration without any splitting. Now, you split up this activity into three parts, which is activity A, activity B, and activity C. Then what you do, you take up activity A, shut it down, take the resource away into another project, then bring him back into this project. You have a startup phase for activity B, then activity B continues. You shut down activity B, take the resource to another project. After he completes a task there, this person is shifted back to activity to this project, and he starts activity C. This is the startup time. Then he continues activity C, and so on and so forth. So this is how a typical splitting of activity happens and is used as a method of project resource allocation and optimizing the time available of critical and highly skilled resources. Now, benefits of scheduling resources: it leaves time for consideration of alternatives, it gives you cost time trade-offs and allows changes in priorities. It provides information for time-phased work package, and allows us to understand budgets to assess impact of unforeseen events and amount of flexibility in the available resources. Now, the other thing that we have to do is look at is what is multi-project resource scheduling. This is what we were doing so far for was one or two projects, but when an organization has multiple projects, what are the typical issues with multiple project scheduling? One is overall project slippage. Delay on one project creates delays for other projects. Secondly is inefficient resource application. Peaks and valleys of resource demands create scheduling problems and delay the projects. Then there are resource bottlenecks. Shortage of critical resources required for multiple projects can cause delays and schedule extensions. All projects can get delayed, or you can finish some projects and delay to a large level the other projects. So these are the two things that can happen. Now, managing multi-project scheduling. Now, the method of managing multi-project scheduling is to create multiple project offices or departments to see the scheduling of resources across projects. Use a project priority queuing system, first come, first serve for resources. Centralize the project management. Treat all projects as a part of one single mega project and allot people according to that. Outsource projects to reduce the number of projects handled internally so as to improve the timelines and the delivery schedule of all the projects. Now, typically, resource leveling brings in scheduling flexibilities. Assuming that resource leveling is required and is happening properly, you will also need to identify your scheduling flexibilities. Now, this is the point at which strategic and technical elements of resource leveling come together. Resource leveling is a complex process even with aid of software tools. One has to be careful of that. Most software packages provide for different settings for resource leveling, allow customization to happen, allow all kinds of differentiation to be happen based on individual project needs. But before you level resources, you will have to understand, get a full understanding of how the software operates and how individual settings will influence leveling results. So that's very important to understand. This brings us to the end of project resource management. I trust you had a nice, insightful journey into this topic. I thank you for your time and attention and look forward to meeting you for the next chapter. Thank you.